At a recent Black Lives Matter protest in Cambridge, Massachusetts, I saw so many little kids. 4-year-old Elliot fiercely held up a Black Lives Matter sign. Here's his white dad.
I love him to pieces, and I want him to understand this stuff and fight things that he knows that aren't right.
Then there's a little black girl, Winta Amora Rogers, who's become a YouTube sensation with her furious finger-waving protest march in Merrick, New York.
No justice, no peace! No justice, no peace! No justice, no peace!
Little kids are a part of this moment, but how should parents talk to them about it? Dr. Beverly Daniel Tatum is a former president of Spelman College, child psychologist, and author of books on kids and race. Dr. Tatum, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And speaking of schools, you've also written that little black kids can often be uncomfortable with hearing about racism and slavery in school. They feel singled out. They feel like victims. And white teachers are uncomfortable telling little kids the history of, you know, blacks being lynched or children bombed to death in churches. So carry that over to parents. How should parents have these conversations?
Well, part of the challenge right now is that there's so much in the news. You know, the killing of George Floyd on the screen is not something you'd want children to see, but whether parents want them to or not, they might see it inadvertently. Mm-hmm. In which case, mm-hmm. parents can have conversations with preschoolers about fairness and unfairness, you know, talking about what parents are doing to make sure that their children stay safe and to bring about positive change so that nobody experiences that again.
We're talking about black parents now. I think I want to stay there before moving to white families, but talking to little kids about how they will keep them safe. They can't always keep them safe.
If you're talking to a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, the odds are you can keep them safe. They want to know that their parents are there to support and care for them. And 99% of the time, that is true for a preschooler because they're rarely out alone. If you're talking to an older child who is out on the streets alone, then that conversation needs to be different.
Well, let's talk about that conversation. I mean, how do you explain to a child old enough to understand what they're seeing, a black man killed by a white police officer? How do you have that conversation without making them also feel dehumanized, like their lives don't matter?
Well, that has to be part of the conversation, because when you see somebody dehumanized, as George Floyd clearly was, and when you identify with that person, that's a scary thought. So parents have to both acknowledge the anxiety, the fear, and the fact that these things have happened, and we are all working very hard to make sure they don't happen in the future.
Well, is it as blunt as people who do this kind of thing, meaning the white police officer, they're the ones that have the problem? This should not reflect at all on you or on other people of color. This doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. There's something wrong with the world.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think black parents want to affirm the humanity of their children and themselves.
And do you have to also give them hope that there is something like a protest? Some people might feel that's, I don't know. I'm sort of guessing, aren't I, being white? But I'm wondering if people would feel that's just trying to counterbalance, you know, wipe out what's real with this fairy tale of activism and protest, because we've had them for years and it hasn't changed anything. So how do you bring hope to a child?
Well, one of the things that I think of is a quote from Bryan Stevenson, head of the Equal Justice Initiative and author of the book Just Mercy. And he says, "Injustice prevails when hopelessness persists." So in order for us to see and work toward justice, we have to believe that change is possible. You know, my father was a college professor. When he wanted to earn his PhD, we were living in Florida. He couldn't go to Florida State University because of segregation. That's an example of change. This problem of institutionalized state violence against black people is part of our past, and it is protest that will hopefully make it something that we can look back on as what used to happen and not what is still happening.
How do you navigate as a black or white parent of a black child telling them about systemic, historic racism on the part of some police without triggering a rage that could be hurtful to those young people if they assign it to all police. You want to keep him safe, but you also want him to know maybe that there is some authority that he has to respond to.
Yes, of course. I mean, parents, Black parents often refer to what is colloquially known as, quote, the talk. And that child needs to understand when a police officer asks you a question, you must always be polite, you must always keep your hands visible so they don't think you're reaching for a weapon. And even if it feels like it's not fair, I need you to remember this so that you don't accidentally get hurt or worse yet, killed. Who wants to tell their child that someone who's supposed to help them might actually hurt them?
Can Black parents afford to tell their children when you're in trouble and you need help, there are good police, you can go to the police?
You know, we know that there are police officers who want to help people, but just as most people are good-hearted, there are people who will sometimes mean you harm.
Yeah. Staying with little kids, what should the conversation between white parents and children be?
Many white parents think that if they don't talk about race or issues of prejudice, their children won't have any. But the fact of the matter is the negative stereotypes are part of the air they're breathing. So in order to counteract that, you know, with preschoolers, you can look at books together that are featuring children of all backgrounds. But also there can be conversations about unfairness. Racism is a kind of systemic unfairness. There's a book I've been recommending to parents who want to talk about police violence, and it's called Something Happened in Our Town. It's intended for children between the ages of 4 and 8, written by 3 psychologists with great resources in the back.
Well, you say some, one of the things a white parent's conversation with a white child is talking to them about what it means to be an ally and to stand in solidarity against unfairness and bullies across the board, but also against racism. How do you ensure, though, well, and actually you wrote something about this, how there was a white parent who told her 4-year-old about Rosa Parks taking her bus seat. It was his favorite story. But then a little bit later, he came to her and said, wait, are all white people bad? How do you keep your child from internalizing that, same as with a Black child, internalizing it's about me, I'm bad, as opposed to feeling there's something he can do to change it, he or she?
Yes, well, I think that what's important there is to not only talk about the things that white people have done that have injured people of color, but the white people who have worked in solidarity with people of color. White children don't want to always be portrayed as victimizers. They want to also understand that there's a role for white people to be working against victimization as allies. Yeah.
You recommend Jeanette Winter's Follow the Drinking Gourd, which highlights the role of whites in assisting people on the Underground Railroad. Well, I have all the books you recommend at herenow.org. What about the combo platter? White parents, white family who've brought in Black children.
White parents of children of color have to get comfortable with talking to those children about the racism that they are likely to experience and may already have experienced. The white parent who thinks that, you know, I just need to love my child, I don't have to talk about racism, is leaving that child quite vulnerable.
By the way, you mentioned your child came home when he was, seems like just a little beyond a toddler, and said that a friend of his told him he was Black because he drank chocolate milk.
Yes. And so we had to have a conversation about that.
I should say I'm laughing about that. But of course, for a little child, maybe you're noticing for the first time, wait, what my skin's different? Why? And so that can be a terrible moment for that child. But what did you tell them?
Well, so he came home and said, Tommy says my skin is brown because I drank chocolate milk. Is that true? And I said, no, it's not true. Your skin is brown because you have something in your skin called melanin. Everybody has some. The more you have, the browner your skin is. It's actually good for you. It helps protect your skin from the sun. It happens that you're the kid at your school that has the most. He was tickled by that. And so I went to the school and asked the teacher how they were talking about difference. She said, well, you know, it really hasn't come up. But of course it had come up. you know, there was nothing malicious about Tommy's question. He was a three-year-old trying to figure something out. But when we are too embarrassed or reluctant to respond to the preschooler's question, we convey, you know, there's something wrong with that skin. That's why we can't talk about it. And that sets the seeds for the assumptions of supremacy. We don't want that.
Of course, obviously, Tommy had never had chocolate milk.
Apparently not enough.
If he thought that through, that three-year-old. Dr. Beverly Tatum, child psychologist, again, we'll have her list of books at hereandnow.org. Dr. Tatum, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Robin.
And by the way, one of her terrific books, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria and Other Conversations About Race? Just terrific.